Good morning and welcome to Carson Anderson here on 97.1. A little pep in our step today, huh? Feeling good after Team USA brings home the gold in a thrilling, great theater, awesome moment, awesome for the game, awesome for the Olympics. And by the game, I mean the game of hockey. Awesome for the state of Michigan. My God, did we flex our muscle when it comes to what happened on the ice in the Winter Olympics. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Yep. I'm doing great. That really got things off to a good start yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I got superstitious. I refused to leave my bed to go to the better TV.
That's why.
Well, that was one of the things. I'm like, I'm not leaving. I'm not, you know, dog, you want to go outside? I'm sorry. It's not happening. I'm staying right here. Can't leave while this is going on. What a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a game. And honestly, I want to say games because I don't want to leave the women out either.
No, that was awesome.
Their game
too.
Was every bit as exciting. I mean, the difference is it's men and women. I guess we pay more attention to the men than the women, but the women's final, a 2-1 overtime winner over Canada was also awesome. But we talked a little bit about that on Friday, so we can talk about the men today. And that was one of the more satisfying games I've ever watched in my life. I mean, certainly watching Red Wings win Stanley Cups, but I mean, were they really challenged in Stanley Cups when they won it in 97 or 98 or 02? I mean, you know, those were pretty easy romps to get through it all. But this was
talking about the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this game had everything. I mean, got off to the 1-0 start. Can they hang on to that lead? You know, here comes Canada. My God, were they just dominating for the middle part of that game and then the end of the game too. And they had the two-man advantage for 93 seconds. And the United States were able to kill the penalty. Yeah. They killed all the penalties. Did a great job with that. And then they get the tying goal. And you're thinking, uh-oh, here we go. And the drama that unfolds with Nathan MacKinnon missing what is the very definition of a yawning net. The whole net is open, and he just shoots it wide, and everyone who's an American just breathes a sigh of relief. Like, oh, thank God that missed. You know, Taves right at the doorstep, and somehow Hollebuck's stick is strong enough to keep it at bay. And just, I mean, opportunity after opportunity turned away, turned away, turned away, and you're saying to yourself in the back of your mind, is it possible? Are they going to do this? Because I got to tell you, when the game's tied at 1-1, it felt like we were down 2-1.
Yeah, Canada was carrying the play.
It's like, are we gonna score to tie this up? Wait a minute. If we score, we win. You have to like correct yourself. And then you survive regulation and you get to the equalizer, which is the overtime format of 3-on-3 now. And anything can happen in 3-on-3 hockey. The advantage that the Canadians have is their roster top to bottom is insanely good, right? Mm-hmm. But when you get it to 3-on-3, well, you go two forwards and a defenseman, and I'll take, give me your Quinn Hughes, your Zach Werenski, or whoever your third defenseman is that you want to rotate out there with all the speed that the Americans can throw out there. Okay, I like those odds. We may not win, but I like the odds. And sure enough, they get an amazing stop. They break up a 2-on-1 that could have been a 2-on-0 and turn it the other way and get one of those goals that is exhilarating and devastating at the same time, depending on who you're rooting for. I mean, we've seen that here as Red Wing fans. We've seen that goal happen, and it's either you're jumping up and down, high-fiving anything, or you're putting your fist through the wall or grabbing a chainsaw through your TV or whatever I just saw on Twitter.
The great thing about it is this is clearly a hockey town and a hockey state. And our influence on what just happened has been well documented, okay? But, as far as hockey's place in America, this helps. How much it helps, I don't know. I don't know how much it helps, and I'll get into some of the reasons why. It can't hurt, though. And does it spawn a new generation of new hockey fans? And if you're looking to showcase the game, and as hockey lovers here, that was a great game to showcase how spectacular the sport can be. And there's something so poetic about Jack Hughes getting his two front teeth knocked out during the game.
And then some.
And then scoring the game-winning goal. So all cameras are on him when he's got the smile with two teeth cut in half, blood everywhere, that really showcases the beauty, the barbaric beauty of hockey.
Right.
And you couldn't ask for anything more hockey-ish than Jack Hughes with no teeth and blood smiling from ear to ear with a gold medal around his neck.
I just reposted a picture that Kirk Herbstreit had posted yesterday of Jack Hughes. It's just a close-up of Jack Hughes.
At Doug Gator 971?
Yes.
I mean, is it? That's exactly it, right?
I mean, you look at him. Like, are you kidding me?
It's almost as if it. Okay, let's come up with an AI scenario,
right,
to showcase hockey. And Jack Hughes post game smiles and celebration when he had problems speaking. And did he care about his teeth at all? No. Think about this: if you lose two or three teeth today, it's going to be a rough day. You, me, you know.
Barber and accounting,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any of us lose two or three teeth.
We're out.
Chances are we're wrapping up whatever we're doing and going for emergency dental work.
Yeah.
In hockey, that's just par for the course. I mean, I feel like he would have had to be reminded his teeth were out. But there's still blood.
Well, it happened in the third period. Late in the third period, he goes off with, you know, the high sticking call, obviously, and then he comes back on the ice,
yes,
and commits a high sticking himself. And then how truly poetic it is that the guy whose teeth are probably still on the ice somewhere, embedded in the ice, that guy with blood all over his jersey is the guy who delivers the game-winning goal and is an amazing spokesperson for the team afterwards.
Oh,
with Catherine Tappan. He was amazing.
He was
perfect, and he was concise. He was confident, and he was obviously just. I mean, he's a hero. He's a hero today. He was a hero yesterday. He's a hero today. A hero for the rest of his life.
Now let's be clear here. Those of us that have followed hockey, and we're not new to the hockey culture. That Jack Hughes look, that's typical.
That's typical, yeah.
My point is, for Bro in Little Rock and Modesto and Orlando.
Oil Trough, Texas.
Yeah, that's their window into the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it did some good for the game. And I can't, it didn't hurt. It couldn't have hurt. That was a great showcase for the sport of hockey. And, I mean, we are hockey people here. Not everybody. And so I'm hoping that it has a great impact on the interest in the Red Wings over these last 24 games. And, you know, we're going to lean into it. We've got 11 days to the trade deadline. We've got a team that can go to the postseason and be competitive again, which is awesome. And we're all fired up about that. But just a little window into what this sport is for the rest of the country that doesn't care. And yeah, look, Jack Hughes, it's funny because we don't need to get into the nitpicking over whether or not we can claim Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes was a Plymouth Canton High School kid, right? I mean, yeah. The other two Hughes brothers played here. Connor Hallibuck's from Commerce Township. He still belongs to a golf club out there that a member of our station does. And he's at all the events, and he's just the skinny guy in the golf club, the tall, skinny guy that half the people don't know that he was our Olympic goaltender. He was the hero of this thing. Megan Keller, who played, you know, double-A hockey with the boys up until 13, 14 around Metro Detroit. There's guys out there, you know, people, guys and girls out there who played against her or with her. She was a shortstop for the South Farmington Blues baseball team up until she stopped playing. Then she played high school girls basketball and I believe it was basketball and softball. But anyway, the point is, these are the people that want us to goal.
Yeah.
You know? And Werenski. He's a Detroit area kid. Played at Michigan as well. And he, it was Werenski's assist to Jack Hughes. There's so much, it just dripping with Michigan ties, what makes it so much more fun. Because you know what? There's a whole bunch of you out there that have known these people, have played with them, played against them. I mean, hell, if you've driven past their house, you're like, woohoo, I know him.
Right, right.
And that's the best part about, to me, the best part about this. And when Werenski and Larkin went and got Johnny Drew's kid, stop. I mean, it was game over. I mean, game over in terms of the pride that I felt. These were the two kids from our state played at U of M.
It was a point
such
where
a class move.
You know, you go from just smile and that inner F yeah attitude after they win it, right? And then when you see Matthew Tkachuk go grab the jersey, mm-hmm. and he's skating around with the jersey, and then they grab the kids and they bring the kids over for the team picture after the initial team pictures. And you know, Larkin's holding one. Werenski was holding the other kid, and you know the cheers and a smile turns into tears, and it's like, but it's happy tears. It's tears for the right reasons. And yesterday, I mean, the unbelievable importance of February 22nd is incredible. George Washington's birthday. It was the anniversary of them winning it in 1980 with the Miracle on Ice. And then you hear on top of that, that it's Johnny Gaudreau Jr.'s birthday while they're holding him. This little kid, this little 2-year-old kid out there in center ice who, you know, in a year and a half ago lost his dad and probably doesn't have much of a memory at all. And he's been adopted by the entire team. And it's just an amazing story from start to finish. And thank God they finished it yesterday so we could all get all of that story and not be left going, damn it.
There's so much to talk about this, but one of the places that I think it'd be fun to start is your tie to any of these guys. Any of these guys. Like, I went through and started looking at schedules and games that my kids played to try and figure out if any of my kids played against Megan Keller, for instance, because she played a lot of boy sports, and I wonder if there was any crossover there, but there really isn't. But you know, we have a mutual friend we saw on, was it Friday? It was Friday, who talked to us about his kid playing against Megan Keller in boy sports growing up. But anyway, what is your tie to any of these people, Detroit? Because, I mean, it's we really have deep roots in what we just saw. 248-539-9797. Mondays also, of course, mean Champ and Chump. We'll get to our Champ and Chump nominations at 10:35. Get yours in. So many to choose from. Who had the best weekend? Who should be called out? We'll start knocking down those as well next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. I don't know how many people even know this. I didn't know it till this morning. Did you see who got the second assist on that goal?
No.
Connor Halbuck.
Did he?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I was cracking up. Now it's overtime, 3-on-3. And
saves the...
Yeah,
the,
whatever. Hey.
The attempt and kicks it out to the side.
Yeah. What? And I'm not sure how or why. I just saw it as popped up, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. But that was a 50-50 puck in our zone that Cale Makar and Jack Hughes went after. And if Jack Hughes doesn't get it, Canada's got a 2-on-none. But Hughes won that battle, and it led to the odd man rush the other direction, and obviously USA scored. 248-539-9797. Let's get to your open line calls. We go to Matt in Nashville. You're on 97.1. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, man? So Champ and Chump, champ for two reasons, USA hockey, men and women, for beating Canada, and the second reason, for honoring Gaudreau and bringing in, you know, kids on the ice. It's very classy. Chump, only because I couldn't find anything, the Tigers, and I know it's preseason, but a 20-3 game, that's just embarrassing. Like, I know it doesn't mean anything, but 20-3, dude, that's brutal.
No, like you said, you couldn't find anything. I have some of those Mondays too where I'm like, well, this is kind of a weak Champ and Chump, but this is what I got today. So I hear you. Now, are you in Nashville, Tennessee, or Nashville, Michigan?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, cool.
I work for Google, so I travel all over the country, and I've been here for like the last 2 months.
Yeah. Can I? How is it? How did the? Because I'm intrigued on other parts of the country. What just happened in that men's gold medal hockey game, and the women, for that matter, leading into the weekend? How much is that resonating in Nashville?
A little bit. There's a lot of Predator fans out here. And it's funny because I went to a Predators game, and I left after like 10 minutes because the crowd started shouting, "We are Predators." And I was like, you know, I don't think that's something I want to shout. I'm not a Predator. I'm going to leave. But, it was good. You know, people were watching it in the hotel and cheering, and so it was good. And then, again, for the Tigers, you know, I stopped listening after, like, third inning. It was 4-3. Got back to the hotel and checked the score. It was, like, 23. And I was like, what the F?
Yeah, well.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it does, as you said, it doesn't matter, and it's hard to find chumps. I don't even know how good my chump is this week, but we'll get to that today at 10:35. Let's get more of your phone calls, and I want to follow up on something there he had to say. Todd is in Detroit at next year on 97.1. Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys. I don't want the shark, so cut me off if I'm going too long.
Okay.
Connor Hellebuck. Guys like Larkin and Werenski, those guys were elite, elite, elite players.
Yeah.
You know, at 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, Metro Detroit. Everybody knew they were good. Don't always turn out to be Olympian stars, but Connor Hellebuck was truly just a AA player. And the story they told over the weekend about having an older brother, I was involved with some guys that started a season high school group for players to get some recognition before the November actual MHSAA season starts. And Connor Hellebuck got in that program. He played at Waldleaf Northern. No offense to those guys. There'll never be another player likely to come out of Wild Lake Northern that makes it like him. And he was a humble kid. He just kept getting better. He got recognized as a senior in high school in this program before the high school season even started. Took that on to going to play junior hockey down in Texas. Took that on to college. And then obviously his pro career just took off. But for all those guys out there that have been told at 12 or 14 or 16, hey, you're not good enough and you're 100 on a list of 95 guys. Connor Hellebuck's that guy. Mm-hmm. And now everyone's saying he's the best goalie in the world. And he stole that game yesterday. And it's friggin' awesome for state of Michigan and for him and for Michigan high school hockey.
So just to be clear here, this was you were a high school hockey player and you got in this same program that Hellebuck did?
I was a coach that was one of the guys involved getting the program off the ground. When he was in it, I had already stepped away.
Okay.
But I'm really close to those guys. And I mean, he was the best goalie in that program. That team, they put together a league and they play in tournaments and they play against all the big boys. They go to the state of Minnesota and play the Minnesota best players from their fall league first week in November every year. These guys have been doing it. They've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Michigan high school way. Legal way of combating AAA hockey.
It's cool. I mean, I don't. My oldest stopped playing hockey, I think, at 12 or 13. But and how hockey recruiting goes, you just don't see high school players, guys who. And I say this with all respect too, because those high school players are now guys playing in my beer league and making me look foolish. But you don't see guys who, quote, only played high school hockey making it like this.
No, they typically don't end up going to play on college teams. The kids that go to play on college teams are generally guys that are playing junior hockey. Yeah. It's kind of cool. I mean, there are exceptions, and I think it started one way. I think it did start back where you could make it as a high school kid to hockey or take to college or better than that, and then things calmed down. Everything became about travel. If I'm not mistaken, I think Chris Chelios played high school hockey. There were a couple guys in the 80s that did, and then things changed dramatically.
248-539-9797. Bill is next on 97.1. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
I got a great story, Megan Keller story.
Yeah?
I'm at a hockey game watching my grandson, and Megan is probably 10, 12, they were the squirts. And I look and I'm watching, I'm saying, hey, I'm on the end zone behind the net.
Yeah.
And they're all guys, all dads. I say, that kid's going to go to the Olympics. And they say, what boy are you talking about? I says, that's not a boy, that's a girl, and she's the best one on that ice. And guess what? This is true, man. And I was thrilled when she scored that goal. I started tearing up.
Yeah.
I said, what a gal. She came a long way and survived, and there she is in a wonderful moment scoring that goal.
Was your grandson playing against her or with her?
Against her. Yeah. I can't even remember the name of his team. It escapes me, but I never forgot saying that to these guys, and they all laughed at me. And what boy? I said, it's not a boy. It's a girl, man. Aren't you watching? So
I think she played at Honey Baked, and was she a Livonia Knight? Is that what our buddy
she
said?
She was a Livonia Knight.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
She could play on a boys' team at that time.
Yep.
And it's the only time I think I saw her play, and it was just a moment in my life where I thought, I'm so proud of saying that.
Right.
And I heard your radio. I'm listening to you right now. And I go, geez, I got to call this one in. This is a good one.
And thank you, Bill. Thank you for sharing. All these Michigan ties, do you have a tie to any of these players? Did you see them as kids? You know, I had a good fortune of interviewing a Hughes, although for the life of me, I can't remember which one when they were at Michigan, whether it was Luke or Quinn. And but... 248-539-9797. Phone calls and feedback. Carson Anderson, our Champ and Chump nominations today at 1035 here on 97.1. That's a CBC call. 248-539-9797. So there's a lot to talk to because we all, I think, have a unique experience with what was a great moment in sports with the U.S. Olympic hockey team and all the Michigan ties. Do you have any tie-in? Did you ever play against any of these kids? Did you ever watch them when they were young? Did you ever see them in another sport? Did your kid go to high school with Werenski or a Hughes? you know, whatever it may be, we got a guy here at the station who belongs to the same golf club as Connor Hallebuck. And he says that he's just the tall, skinny guy. And every time there's an event at the club, he's there. And they just, you know, he's a Commerce Township kid. 248-539-9797. Great pride in what we just saw. Additionally, one of the fun things that happened yesterday, and we'll get into more of the details, but I'm going to guess that there were some of you out there. Gator, I was at my son's place in Chicago. We went there this weekend, went to the Piston Bulls game on Saturday night, and we'll get into the Pistons and you know what that experience was like, and certainly a huge week for the Pistons, and that'll be part of our, it's definitely on our agenda today. But Sunday morning, between the first and second period, I made the dash to go get breakfast. And on his street, there's a lot of options. There's a little market up the street where I could get up there and get breakfast and bring it back in between periods and not miss anything. The street that my son lives on in Chicago has a ton of bars. As a 24-year-old living in the city, he's in a good spot.
It's Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, but as I'm walking down the street, I'm like, that place is packed. At what Chicago time?
Right, was even early.
It was like 7:40 in the morning. That place is packed. That place is packed. And I'm like, there's no way I should be going to a bar. I got to drive back. I mean, I could just go to the bar and watch, but then again, no, I can't. And I was like, we should go. No, we shouldn't. But I wanted to so bad.
When I asked you where you watched the game during a break and you told me your son's apartment, I was a little bit disappointed because I thought you were going to say, We went to a bar.
Yeah, I really, that was one of, you know, maybe I can't, maybe I can. What was your coach? Your ninth grade football team was getting short on players and someone told the coach to suit up?
Yeah, halftime. Why did you suit up? I can't do that. Maybe I can.
Yeah, and I was walking past these bars going, I can't do that. Maybe I can. And I went back and I told the family, I'm like, But we decided not to.
I was close to, between the first and second period, I was close to changing clothes and heading up to 24 seconds.
Were you?
Yeah. And I said, I got to stay. I'm just going to stay home. And I stayed in bed and watched it, and it was fantastic. It was absolutely great. And I'm going through Twitter while the game's going on too, and I saw Burchie had tweeted out that he was at like the Post in Detroit.
Yeah.
It was packed there. So good to hear that bars were doing well, that they got on top of it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Opened up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't that long ago that bars were not allowed to be open on Sunday serving alcohol until whatever it was, 10 a.m. or noon. So they changed the laws, and now we can enjoy that kind of atmosphere.
And people may know, but my mom, born and raised in St. John, New Brunswick, married my dad, now dual citizenship, but I have cousins all across Canada. And the phones were blowing up all weekend long in the build-up to this game. And I sent them the news release that Ontario had made it legal to open bars at 6 a.m. And my cousin Mikey responded in perfect Canadian fashion. He's like, perfect. I just won't go home from Saturday night. And then I didn't get a lot of texts after the game, but cousin Mikey said, ruins my 10 a.m. buzz. And There will be trash talk. I'll let some time pass.
Well, they got the women to beat the in curling.
Yes,
Canada beat U.S. for the bronze,
and they're happy ish about that. Champ and chump. My champ is Dylan Larkin. I just the Larkin international play. Dylan Larkin is so great, and I really want this to jumpstart a strong Red Wing finish. Last year, I had high hopes coming out of the Four Nations, and the Red Wings finished 500 when they got back from the Four Nations. So I don't know that that means there's anything that's inherently bad about it, but I just thought Dylan was great and always emerging as a team leader. And I feel like if I weren't a Red Wing fan, if I were in any other hockey town, I'd be like, I love that guy. I love Dylan Larkin. But we got him. And so I'm really hopeful. And at what they did after the game with Goudreau's kids and awesome. Larkin leading that. I'm starting to think he's feeling very Captain America to me, Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, he kind of feels like Captain America. And you're 100% right. If we were on another team's fan base watching that guy, we'd say, we need that guy because he's a gritty, determined forward, plays defense, wins the faceoffs, does all the things. And then here in Detroit, I don't know if he's taken for granted or he's a little bit polarizing. I hope
a little bit.
That's changed because he's great. My champ is Hellebuck, the goaltender. I mean, come on. 42 saves in the gold medal game for the tournament. His goals against average was 1.18 with a .952 save percentage. All this for a guy who got tagged with a label that he can't come through in the big game. And what does he do? 42 saves and helps to win the gold medal. He's the number one reason they won the gold medal and couldn't be prouder of him.
My chump of the weekend is the Chicago Bears for their Hammond plan, driving through Hammond,
future home,
and realizing that is an example of when the ultimate motivator is chasing the dollar sign, you give up an ideal location in downtown Chicago for that spot next to the refinery and the oil fields of Hammond. And that's chasing the almighty dollar. At some point, enough is enough. And I think it's terrible. And we made fun of it last week, but the more I thought about it, probably shaved 40 minutes off our drive if we're playing the Bears in the future. But
it'd be easy for Lions fans getting the Bears.
Exactly.
For sure.
But the Skyway that you would have to take to get there and their stupid toll booths, we have to run the credit card and it takes 40 seconds for the gate to go up. I just, the backup, I don't know. It's just awful.
Well, it is just a negotiating ploy because I don't know if you saw over the weekend that Illinois is getting back to the table. Of course they are. My chump, the Olympic Committee for handing out stuffed animals that go along with the medals. If you saw the looks on the faces of the Canadian players when they were being handed their silver medals, they wanted to rip up that stuffed animal, like behead them and just throw them right back on the ice. And I wouldn't have blamed them if they did. I thought this was... This is not the time to have a stuffed animal.
Well, okay. Let's say you decide that you are going to hand out stuffed animals to winners. You know what you don't need? You don't need a fully separate handy-outy ceremony. Like, give them out when you give out the medals.
Right. Here's a gift bag on your way out. You know, that's where it belongs. Not like, oh, let's make this part of the ceremony. Here's your gold medal and stuffed animal.
248-539-9797. Do you have any ties to this U.S. Olympic hockey team, men's or women's? Anything that you saw these kids when they were young? Same thing. We want to know, did you go to an establishment? Were you at a bar Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for the gold medal matchup? We go to Mike in Livonia. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And couldn't be any prouder today to be a hockey player from the state of Michigan. I was fortunate enough to grow up in Plymouth and play youth hockey there, have friends that work there. And if you watch the transformation, like I got to see, of the facility, the gym, you'd understand why this program has taken off like it is. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to take part in quite a few skates when the rink was closed after 11 or 12 p.m. and skate with a lot of big names that have come through there just shooting pucks around. And I could go through a bunch of them. But also our beer league team, you know, we were at a bar at 7:30, watch a game together, and it just makes you feel like a kid again. The atmosphere was amazing, and just couldn't be prouder to be from this area, grow up playing a game, you know, and watching the facility in Plymouth. I know a lot of people don't get to see what happens inside the gym there, and the equipment and the technology, but if you everybody got to see it, you'd understand why it's such an attraction now. So,
Mike, you said you're a Plymouth kid.
Yeah.
You didn't happen to come through with the same time the Hughes boys came through, were you?
No, I'm 40.
Okay.
I was, you know, I was watching David Legwand, you know, as a kid, and you had your Tyler Sagans, kind of closer to my age. I'm a little bit older, but didn't get to see the Hughes or anybody in this age group, but was around that rink enough to see quite a few players come through in their early teens and develop. From afar, I wasn't nearly as talented as they were, but got to share the same life as some of them, just in, you know, little private skates and shoot pucks around, and just to see the development of that facility and the program itself is incredible.
Thanks for sharing. We are looking for your ties to USA Hockey. I'm looking for clarification here, because on the Jack Hughes Wikipedia page, it mentioned that he graduated from one of the Plymouth Canton Educational Park high schools in Canton. That is that interesting facility where they have three high schools on one campus. It is Plymouth, it is Canton, and it is Salem, and they're all on one campus. And there's like three different football fields and baseball fields, and they're all within sight of one another. And I think that thing was built in the 70s, and some people thought this is going to be the new model. We're going to put three high schools in one. And I find it to be so unique and so strange, and I'm fascinated by it. But if anybody knows actually which one of the three high schools Jack Hughes was at, I'd like to know. Is he a Plymouth kid? Is he a Canton kid?
I always hear him referred to as a Canton kid.
So did he live in Canton and went to Canton, or did he just come from Canton High School?
State of Michigan, baby. That's all.
Yeah, I know. 248-539-9797. Get your Champ and Chump boats in. Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. Who had the best weekend? Who should be called out? I want to kill the temptation just to say USA Hockey. Maybe go to whatever specifically that you think stood out, because there's so much to talk about. With not just the men, but the women. It is Carson Anderson. Just odd indeed.
At first, when all that's going on, until that last 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I'm like. It doesn't sound like this is the hockey game they're talking about. It sounds like was there some soccer going on with Russia or something?
Yeah, it's Eurosport. Do we know what language, Kang, that was in?
I was hoping to get some 10 texts or something.
Okay, somebody maybe can help us out. Did you understand what the
hell
we just
heard? I thought it was
Russian.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I could rule out languages. But that's why I didn't hear a name that sounded familiar. And then at the end, the Jack Dooza, yeah, or whatever he says. Okay. Oh, it was the hockey.
248-539-9797. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson. I did hear something funny, and it's important for perspective because, you know, that was a very, very cool moment. And in, we're leaning into it today, as we should, given the Michigan ties to the men's and women's success on the ice and what really is the marquee event of the Winter Olympics. I like them all, man. I really do, with the exception of figure skating and ice dancing. But I watch whatever I can, and to see just all the Michigan connections for men's and women's hockey has been really, really fun. And certainly to win the gold in both is a great moment. Let's go to Chuck in Commerce Township. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Doug. How you doing?
We're great. All right. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, I live out here in subdivision across from Connor's folks, and my son went to school with Connor at Wall Lake Northern, and so did my nephew, and Lieutenant Mitchell from White Lake Police. His son skated with him there at Northern. But, yeah, he's just a regular guy living out here. He comes back all the time. And you see him in Blazing Bagels and everywhere else. But, yeah, these young men all know each other. And but the reason I called is not only to tell you that, but that did you happen to see the national interview that that young lady did with Connor after the game yesterday?
Yes.
Where he says, she says to him, well, what do you say to your doubters that say you can't win the big game? He just looked at her and smiled and said, let them keep writing. I'll keep performing.
Yeah, good for him.
It was a mic drop.
Did your son have any stories or any memories of him when they were in high school together?
Yeah, just that he was a regular guy. My son didn't play hockey or anything, but my friend that I grew up with, he coached Northern's hockey team before Connor got there, and his son did play with him. It's Lieutenant Mitchell. He's down in Texas now, and his son's down there on the police department in Texas. But I just want to say he's a regular guy, and we see him around here a lot. And my nephew golfs with him at Edgewood, and he's
just cool.
A great guy to have around in the neighborhood.
It's really cool. And he's getting a lot of love today. Feedback coming in. I quit hockey as a junior goalie in high school at Walled Lake Northern because Connor Hallebuck came in as a freshman and took the starting goalie spot from the other three or four of us that were fighting for that spot for a couple of years.
That would make sense.
From an unnamed texter. Connor Hallebuck came into the dealership I work up to pick up his new car last year. Pretty cool seeing him. Champ USA Men's Hockey, Chump USA Men's Hockey Brass for not picking Kane or DeBrinket. They could have and should have been on this team and wearing gold around their necks.
They could have. There's no doubt that if Patrick Kane had made the team, it would have been a great story, great storyline, and Kane still plays at a real high level, obviously, here in Detroit. DeBrinket's having a heck of a season with all the goals. Yeah, you can make the argument, but...
Disappointed, but I'm going to say
they just won the gold,
so I can't, you know.
I feel bad that those guys weren't on the team, but at the same time, they picked the right team. The team won.
Simeon in Erie writes in, Champ Clabo for Clabo-ing the Olympics, 6-for-6 gold medals. Chump, Fox Sports racing coverage, show 5 laps, then commercials for the next 8. Come back and talk about all the laps missed, then rinse and repeat. Made it difficult to keep the flow of the race. That's one thing, by the way, about Olympic hockey. I think NBC went a full hour without a commercial.
Wow.
I don't know the exact time, but I started trying to think back while I was watching it the last time I had seen a commercial. Olympic hockey is awesome that way.
Yeah, because they don't have all the TV timeouts. They do have a couple to, not for TV, but to, you know, clean the ice up a little bit. Then it's like a little 2-minute break, and they do that a couple times per period, and that's it.
248-539-9797. Randy in Dearborn. Randy has put us on hold. We will go to CJ in Pontiac. You're on 97.1. Hi, CJ.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so my chump Canada, fantastic team, and Cooper's one of the best coaches out there, but you can't go in the post-game interview and chirp the format of three-on-three when, at the end of the day, you needed it against Czechia to get there. So after things don't go your way, don't be criticizing the format of the tournament and kind of bringing that up. I just thought that was kind of a bad take. I'd also say a chump is the cameraman on this goal. I mean, they pan up to the crowd. You got to go on Hughes. You got to see the celebration. That was just a little one. But my champ is the team I coach. I hope at least one of the boys out there is listening. The Lawrence Tech Blue Devils D1 ACHA hockey team won the WAC championship for the first time in school history on Sunday. We had to go right into our warm-up right after the U.S. won gold. So it was a
Wait. You guys watched the hockey game and then got to play in your own championship game?
Yeah, and it gets even better. So the U.S. and Canada in the gold medal Olympic game, they've met three times, I believe. So it's 02, 2010, and 26. And obviously they got the first two, and we got this one. Our Lawrence Tech situation was the same exact thing. We were playing the same team, Indiana Tech, WAC rival, for the third time. They had beat us twice, and after the Americans won, we knew it was third time was going to be the charm for us as well. So shout out to the Lawrence Tech Blue Devils hockey. We got it done yesterday with a WAC championship.
Congratulations. Nice job. I can't think of anything. I always talk about how I do this Canadian trip during the Winter Olympics where I watch skiing at night, get up the next day and ski, and I'm like amped.
Can you imagine
watching the gold medal hockey game and then going to play your own conference championship game?
How jacked you would be.
Oh.
Be skating faster than you've ever skated before.
Right.
And then after 20 minutes of play, you're dead.
Yeah, probably.
Completely spent. But so was the other team.
Way to go, LTU. We go to Dennis in Farmington. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, great. I got to follow that guy from Tech or from Lawrence Tech.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I can live up to that, but I will tell you, I found out Hughes went to Plymouth High School. I didn't know whether you had found that out yet.
Okay, he's
a Plymouth guy.
All right, gotcha.
The other one, real quick, I didn't go to a bar yesterday to watch the game. I went to church. However, I will admit that I had my phone on, and a couple of times I forgot to silence it, and everybody was hearing me listening to the game and not paying attention to the pastor. But one of the poor guys at church told me when he came in, "Don't say a word. I'm in the zone. He's keeping the game. He doesn't want to know it." And I said, "Got it. I'll not." And we all had coffee afterwards and donuts, and we're talking. Nobody's saying anything. Then finally, as we get up to go, one lady comes in and says, "Hey, how about Team USA?"
Bubble burst.
I
think it's kind of on you, though. You shouldn't go for coffee and donuts after church if you're trying to stay in the bubble.
Probably shouldn't do that.
One of our old interns pulled off the epic gold medal bubble. And he told me the story about it. We will get to that today at 11:02. And another observation. Team USA wins the gold, 97-1.